Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Divination. Divination is a podcast and video show by Elegant Themes, the creators of Divi, the ultimate WordPress theme and visual page builder. The goal of Divination is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller, and as your host, it's my job to facilitate that success by having various guests from the Divi and wider WordPress community onto the show to share their stories and experiences with you. In this episode, I'll be talking with Mark Richmond of Divi Dojo. Mark is based out of his art and design studio in the Virgin Islands, where he does a combination of fine arts and web design using Divi. When I caught up with Mark recently via Skype, we had a great chat where he shared his WordPress story, how he got involved with Divi and the Divi community, and he also shared some lessons that he's learned along the way, which I really enjoyed, and I hope you will too. Here's our conversation. Mark, welcome to Divi Nation.
Hi, Nathan. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, it's certainly nice to have you. We took a few minutes to reset up here. But when we first got on the call, you had this gorgeous backdrop, flowers and ocean and everything behind you. Where are you located?
I'm in St. Thomas, the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Oh, nice. And
got a view looking, 180 degree view of the water, even though I'm up the hill a ways.
Yeah.
But it was kind of stormy this morning, so it was gray enough out that the lighting would have been decent. But then the sun came out. It's usually not a bad thing, but bad for the scene.
Yes, for the purposes of cinematography, if that might be a little too grandiose for what we're doing. So that's awesome. Have you lived there long, or is this something new development?
We moved here a year ago.
Oh, wow.
And basically made the choice that I can basically go anywhere. We talked about it, my wife and I, and talked about where could we go, where would we want to go. And we liked the fact that it was a U.S. territory here. Mm-hmm. We speak English, so it was kind of an easy decision from there.
Awesome. That sounds well. I'm sure we'll get into that a bit more later as we talk about your story with WordPress, Divi, and your business. And this is a question I like to ask everybody. What is sort of a day in the life like for you? You know, how do you approach working for yourself remotely? For people all over the world, or at least all over the U.S., I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. Basically, a day in the life. You get up. The first thing, we're greeted by our youngest son, 3-year-old Zane, carrying an iPad, looking as if he's got the morning agenda ready for mommy, you know. But really, he just wants to watch YouTube. So that's how it gets started. He wakes up the earliest. He's, no matter how late he goes to bed, he's up at...
That's funny.
6:30, let's say, and we don't really have to get up that early because we don't typically have anywhere to go other than. So that's the way the day starts, and then get Xavier to school. Our other second, firstborn son is 5. Get him ready for school, and then I kind of take my time in the morning. Most of my clients, either starting on the East Coast, whether it's New York or even Ohio. So my day kind of stretches all the way through the West Coast, which I'm 4 hours away from the West Coast, but I've got clients in LA and they like to start messaging me at 3:30 their time, which is 7:30 our time.
Yeah.
So I kind of delay my mornings as much as possible to prepare for later on in the day.
Yeah, totally.
And, so that's kind of how the day goes. I spread it out. I take breaks in between. And then I like to personally work into the night after the kids have gone to bed. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot more easy to think and do my work that way.
That's been a common occurrence with our guests who have kids, especially young kids. They're like, can't really do this with them running around. So we do early morning work, we do late night work, but we figure it out. And it's cool being flexible because our line of work definitely lends itself to, I guess, maybe integrating into life a little bit better than the average job, which is cool.
And working from home helps that too. You don't have to sit in traffic or get anything.
Yeah. So let's take a step back and get some context on, where you're at now and how you got there. So we like to talk about this thing called the WordPress story, and specifically having people tell us how it is they got into WordPress in the beginning, how they got into web design development. Can you tell us a bit about your WordPress story?
Yeah, basically, before WordPress, I was heavy into web development dating back to the mid-90s. And dial-up, you know, very basic stuff. And even back then, this does lead to you guys in WordPress, where even back then I was using a program called FrontPage.
Very familiar,
You know, very graphically based, it's pre-coded, it's horrible code when you look at it. And so the developers I was working with are just like, what is going on? You know, they want to rattle away on Notepad and make a website, you know, and I'm like, no, we need these graphics because we don't need a blue bar. So I learned from very, very early on, you know, between Photoshop and Illustrator in their very infant stages. And, you know, that led out through from the 90s to about the mid 2000s. I was constantly in web development, a little bit of video gaming, and a couple other things, but majority web development. I ran some apartments, worked big corporations, worked for myself. Finally, towards the late mid 2000s, I decided to quit my corporate job after 7 years and become a full-time artist. And at the same time, I had a large team of developers. I would kind of manage the whole design aspect, but I wasn't really coding myself. And at that time, I was using Dreamweaver, which got very coder friendly, not so much, you know, it's making the designs for you.
So when you say you were quitting to become a full-time artist, what kind of art were you doing specifically?
Well, I paint acrylics and in a kind of a Japanese tattoo style. And those two things, graphic design and fine art, is what I studied all the way back in college. And I need that through today. But basically, I was getting...
I was just going to ask, has that crossed over much with your web design? Do you find that those two things are really intertwined?
Absolutely, it is. I've done illustrations. It helps with knowledge of color, you know, use balance, layout of the page. And so everything counts back and forth. And so when it got to that point of working for myself, I want to quickly build a website that I've got a great, you know, array of from... building galleries where I was manually doing them before. And this is over the course of probably like 2007 to 2010, which leads to where I discovered WordPress, at the same time discovered Elegant Themes and got my first theme, which was Chameleon. And I kind of dabbled in a couple of others. But it allowed me to do the sliders and the galleries. And I don't want to waste my time doing... building these things in Dreamweaver. So I jumped once again from coding and Dreamweaver to the WordPress experience with the Chameleon. And I loved it. And leading to Divi, which I think kind of...
So if you were jumping in around 2000, you said 2010-ish, you were getting some Elegant Themes and using the membership to use a number of different themes. So that would have been 3 to 4 years until you started using Divi, probably.
Yeah. And I also was building websites for other people, but still trying to stick to my own art. And I've got three galleries representing me, and I was getting some magazine covers and some notoriety restaurants. And some of those things came to an abrupt end when we decided to move here. But before that, planning ahead... And that's where kind of the Divi came in and really saved that one element of like, well, I don't, the clients who just like, I want a custom theme. I don't want something that's pre. And when the first Divi came out, I didn't really get it. So I didn't make that jump yet. But when the 2.0 came out in that area, I was all about it. Cause then I could really design again.
So when you started using Divi, did that sort of allow you to rely less on other developers and start, you know, owning your projects more from start to finish?
Yes, that's exactly what happened. And I think early on, I had discovered some of the tutorials from people like Gino Quiroz and Davy Soup and some of the others. And I don't even think I discovered the Facebook communities yet. I was just searching online at the time and learned how to do some of the things I just couldn't quite get to do in the program raw.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, some of those customizations that require CSS and like making the standout button CTA call out in the header, you know, that kind of thing. And that just helped me, kind of woke me up to, wow, I can actually do some CSS. And then I started delving into that a little bit, but not heavy.
Yeah, yeah. But, so tell us about how you got started with Divi Dojo. I mean, what was the process of going from, I'm now using Divi, I'm owning more of my client work from start to finish, to creating a company around Divi? What's that journey like?
Well, what happened there is it didn't start out that way. I thought, okay, we're moving to the Caribbean. I'm gonna get local vendors. I'm gonna get local people. And I thought I'll go with a nautical theme. I came up with Skull and Bones. So my first business was Skull and Bones. I made cards. I got this cool little character with a sail ship and skullandbones.net. Cool name, but I thought, you know, once I got here, there's not a lot of business going on here. Like, there's a lot of half-done websites. That's because it's a struggle on the island. It's seasonal. And so all their money goes into whatever it is they're doing. They're not worried too much about their websites. And maybe that'll change down the road. But that made me shift my focus from local, thinking nautical, because you can get a boat for the day and restaurants by the water. But I shifted to focusing on, okay, back on the mainland, trying to get business as a WordPress designer. And I wanted to put Divi into the name.
Yeah.
And then I came up with the idea for multiple use, but I came up with a Divi Dojo. I'm a big samurai movie fan. And the dojo, you know, is where you go to train, where you go to learn, and then you're a master. And I wanted to give that kind of implication to the whole thing. Like, okay, come to the dojo and you'll go, a ninja will take care of your website for you. It's kind of an idea.
So is there a lot of educational aspect to what you do as well as actually taking on client work where you do the work for people?
Well, some of that is going to come into play. I used to teach at a place called Platt College in San Diego, where I taught multimedia. That was back in the 90s, late 90s. And so that's always kind of been in the thought process to create this dojo, to come train. And I was thinking local, where, you know, you can...
So like an in-person workshop type thing.
That was the original idea.
Originally, yeah.
Yeah. But then again, being able to reach out to the world and at the same time, I discovered the Facebook communities.
So that's like changing your perspective of who your audience is at that point, I'm sure.
Yes, that's where there are people from everywhere.
Yeah.
And at different hours of the day, you can see where they're from.
Yep.
Like, depending on what time you're on, you know.
I absolutely love that. I'll get on Facebook at any given time, and I wake up in the morning, I'm like, okay, this is where my, you know, the Australians, New Zealanders, the Russian and Ukrainian, they're all messaging me at that time, where I'm seeing notifications from them overnight. And then with a slight delay for on the other side after I wake up, or maybe a little bit before I wake up for the UK folk. And it's just so cool. Like, I can kind of depend on this like global time cycle of interaction with content, which is, I don't know, it's unique to this community, I think, at least as far as my experience goes. I don't see that in many other places where it's so spread out, but so close knit at the same time. I absolutely love it.
I've in that experience, if I go back to like the early 2000s, I know I'm jumping back and forth, but this kind of applies to what you guys have going on right now. And I was a big macromedia head, just huge about macromedia. I would go to their conferences. They didn't have the forums, you know. It was this tight knit community of macromedia people, but at the same time, you didn't have that kind of like discussions among one another unless you went to the conference. But man, the whole Divi movement reminds me of the early days of macromedia, and yet there's this extra connection that maybe macromedia and Adobe may not have merged if today was then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, communities and everything. And I just see such a dynamic now between coders that they can do some amazing things with Divi, and then the graphic design on the, you know, maybe they don't know code, but they know Photoshop, or and meeting up in the middle, mm-hmm. this great thing. You'll see the list of discussions, and there'll be comments from every element.
All kinds of different skill specialties chiming in to say, well, maybe this or maybe that, or have you considered this? So let's talk about what it is that, you know, once you got started with Divi Dojo, what exactly do you guys provide? What have you created, and how has the development of that business come about?
Well, a couple of things. I get a lot of customers that got Divi, try to do it themselves, and just had to stop at one point or another because they're not starting a business. They're already in their business. And I'll use one, a Canyon Shuttle. They're in Arizona, and they do like a shuttle tours between three different main locations in Arizona, like Grand Canyon. And so. And they called me up and like, yeah, we got Divi and we started to build this, but it just doesn't look the way we want it to.
Yeah.
And, you know, they get to a certain level. And that's where a lot of my customers will contact that way. And it's like, yeah, I can take it further and give it that graphical injection, maybe a few cool plugins that over time I've learned what works together, what doesn't, and kind of, you know, keep that schedule around updates and what have you. But that's where the Divi Dojo idea kind of kicked in when I had that customer request. They wanted their vehicles on the highway in a slider, you know, full width. But they didn't have their vehicles ready yet. And they said, okay, well, you can go here's a picture of the vehicle, but can you cut it out, put it into the road and put a graphics on it and make it look real?
Yeah.
And okay, I can do that, but I've been doing this for 20 years, you know, and it takes a while. You got to find the right angle, the right coloring.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The road away. But I pulled it off and I combined that with a Divi suit. Ken Burns effect, you know, and
yeah,
then you got
cool.
And so I found like, okay, there was a combination thing I put together that if I didn't understand the Photoshop aspect to building that, when the client's asking for that, I thought, well, you know, I could probably teach this kind of thing. Like one, you know, not only how to not take in the how to from the Divi to, but what do you do once you have that? Because if you just have a general graphic or if you had a customer say, okay, I want you to cut this out and put it in, you don't know how to do that well enough.
Yeah.
And I started to see more and more people kind of asking for that type of help. And I saw that was kind of one aspect that I can help on that end is, I mean, on the Illustrator part, but the Photoshop part.
Yeah.
There's a lot of elements to that program that can enhance the look even more so.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw in so our Divi 100 series, we actually did a couple posts where it was like, you know, different things you can do preparing your image assets before you even start using Divi to get more out of Divi, and like kind of thinking of image asset preparation in terms of what's possible in Divi. So like you're planning for Divi functionality while you're, you know, creating your assets for it, which I think is a step that a lot of people who maybe have never created websites the old way, where you had to do that anyway. You had to like think of things that you wanted to do and create like transparent backgrounds and things like that. That's, you know, that's old school. That's, you know, common knowledge amongst people who have been designing websites for a long time. But for folks who want to use something that's more or less just a plug and play, they are probably not even thinking about the fact that just a little bit of, time and effort before you put your assets into Divi, you'll get a lot more visual effect out of it.
Yes. The one Divi 100 that comes to mind is did a parallax one. I don't know which number it was, but it was a parallax one. How to prepare the one that's cut out with the transparent background and then the background that goes with it and how they can work together.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. It's a five-stage like asset preparation thing, and it's I think the example you're talking about is the salad
where
there's like veggies in the air, and as it, you know, some of the things are looks like they're moving past the other elements in the background. Yeah, I love that stuff, and it's really, I mean, once you know how to do it, it's, you know, it's really empowering because you can start to see all the different applications in other areas that you might be like, oh, I could combine this effect with that thing or whatever. So have you found that a lot of clients are requesting like almost educational services from you where you're like coaching or training?
Well, I'm going to lean more towards advertising that. Hmm. And I got inspired watching, oh gosh, who was it? I think Terry Hale. And he was talking about his plugins he was working on, trying to come up with something that's reoccurring on the produce it once and put it out there for the public to.
Yeah.
And I was kind of inspired by that in the realm of, you know, I could probably at this stage do a lot of good for people putting some larger overall encompassing project tutorials. Like if you were to take it from start to finish, not just a piece, but let's say if you took one plugin, maybe, you know, how to use the plugin, but also how to prepare some really cool graphics to go with that.
Yeah.
But pairing it up with colors and themes. And I think there's a lot of new people asking for what can I do with this? How can I make it look better? And looking for a theme automatically instead of trying to make it yourself. And even though there's good in both, but if you don't always want to pick out a custom theme for your client and you're having trouble finding one that suits that business, you can make it yourself. And I think absolutely. I can show how to do that.
I think it would be cool. Yeah, that's sort of what I've been hoping to accomplish with our concept of like little mini series on the blog, but even that is not quite in depth enough. Like what you're talking about, and I think what a lot of people would find super useful are actual like full on courses where you take a given project, like setting up a custom branded e-commerce website or setting up a unique membership website, and you don't just have like, here's how to install this plugin and like the few settings that you need to configure to make it work. It's much more in depth. It's like, you know, here's the final result you're going for, and every aspect of it is working in a branded, consistent way. Like there's a lot of things that go into getting that you can't cover in, you know, 1 to 5 tutorials. It would have to be a pretty in-depth thing, and you have to have a lot of things working together. So
font usage, icon usage.
Yep.
How does it come together? Is it
user flow, you know, like onboarding and user experience and mapping, you know, okay, so if they click here, oh, that goes to this page. I'm going to need a redirect from that. You know, you really get into a lot of those types of small, but very important details in your average like tutorial, because it's, you know, too focused on one, you know, one bigger element in a general way. So that's really cool. And I hopefully, you know, when we do eventually launch our marketplace, Divi Dojo will be able to be a brand of educational resources that's represented there. That'd be very cool.
That'd be awesome.
So what have you found growth wise or concentration wise has been like, what has become like the heart of your business? What are you focused on? I guess what's your bread and butter is what I'm really getting at. And what have you found that works really well for you, and how is that helping you to grow?
I started out doing mom and pop type size sites. Mm-hmm. And then I started growing. When you're kind of re-getting started, which is what I did, you have to have some samples to show. And
sure.
People want to see what you've done to get their business. So as I got the little by little sites done, then I started getting bigger sites. Asking for development and design. And one particular site is a LA Laser Center, which is, it's like a skincare products, but then also they have 20 locations. So it was like building this site that had 20 separate menus, 20 separate locations. They all kind of have their own look, mm-hmm. but then there's the all-encompassing site. And then they have a store that sells products and that type of thing, and that kind of opened the door to other sites similar to that. Mm-hmm. College sites, educational sites, so those, all those type of things started to come into play over the course of a few years. There's a lot of demand out there. I'm seeing, it's just a matter of tapping into that, but then also showing samples of you can do that.
What made you decide to focus on those like mom and pop sites, and how did that how did you target finding those customers?
In that case, I started out with going on Indeed and some of the other freelancer sites. And that was a whole new dynamic for me, where I'm coming from my own world, working with local and no longer relying on local, mm-hmm. going on those sites. Then you're competing with India, you're competing with China, you're competing with just about anywhere else.
Yeah.
Some low, low prices. So it kind of changed your mindset that I got to go cheaper, mm. when that's really not the case. And again, I can't just walk out the door and find 30 or 40 businesses locally in my situation.
Yeah, yeah.
But in that case, I ended up working for or applying for a company that did WordPress, custom WordPress sites. And then, you know, you sign the NDA to them, you know, they send you the work for,
oh, okay.
you know, a little bit of pay. And we didn't get along very well after the owners of these sites were asking for more and more stuff, but the price wasn't changing on the yeah, back yeah. end of you know,
your cut of the pie basically wasn't exactly. getting any bigger, but the work was getting bigger. So for you, that starting point was really attaching yourself to an existing WordPress shop as like as a contract worker and getting kind of building your portfolio out of that, so that you would have the kind of the proof of your work and your quality to build on for your own brand.
And that's exactly where stepping back to go forward, because I had worked for a corporation for 7 years and I was getting paid very well. I was running a large department. But I didn't have clients on my own when I left, you know? And so transitioning to that, it's almost like, okay, you got to take a few steps back, build on your own.
I love that idea. I think that's a really, because I've noticed that in my life. I think a lot of people on the show have expressed a similar sentiment, but maybe not in such a succinct way. But that concept of saying, of taking the long road vision as opposed to the short vision, saying it's okay if I'm taking less money, or if I'm, you know, taking a step backwards, if the end result of this action is going to get me to where I actually need to go. I think that is fantastic. That actually might be the name of the episode: stepping back to go forward. I love that.
Sounds really good.
We're getting close on time. Can you maybe speak to that point just a little bit more and talk about how your, you know, how that actually functioned for you in a little bit more detail, that stepping back to go forward? What we already established that part of that was working for someone else again, but how did you then go from that step back to carving your own path forward with Divi Dojo?
Stepping back to go forward. Basically, the one part I had in my court was years and years of experience. So I'm not fresh out of school and I don't know how to do this or I don't know how to do that. And I started building my own sample sites, a whole bunch of them. And that was one of the step backs too, is I designed my own site, but then I made a restaurant site that was nothing, but could order online with it, you know, with the tools I found. And so different things like that. I made different sites shooting for what I'm after out in the public. Mm-hmm. And so it was a combination of the Indeed people hiring you to do the little sites, trying to find local, which I did. I mean, there are some local sites, like the chiropractic center here and a couple other. But then the overall goal after making those demo sites, because that's all the client, keeping the client in mind is another aspect that's really important that I've learned over the years, is you don't need to do too much beyond what they would want.
Sure.
What's effective for them and their business, and understanding that, and there's marketing in it. And I mean, how I was in it was a marketing department that I was in for the 7 years, so I learned that aspect of it. And so that part helps, where you're going to show that business that I can not only build your site, I can help you market it, make it work for you, and not put in things that are unneeded.
Maybe, you know, trendy, maybe, but not necessary.
Trendy, yeah, exactly. So that's kind of where it went forward, was making my own demo sites, spending a lot of extra time on that at first. And then, you know, the if you build it, they will come really does come into play.
That's
kind of what happened. So.
Well, that's awesome. I've been, you know, really, I feel really happy that you took the time to share your story with us. I just want to thank you again for coming on the show.
For inviting me. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. As always, just want to give another big thank you to our guest, Mark Richmond, for coming on the show. If you have any questions about the topics that we discussed in this episode, feel free to leave them in the comments section on the Elegant Themes blog. I've made sure that Mark is aware of the episode going live, and I'm sure that he will be more than happy to drop by and answer any questions that he can. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. I look forward to seeing you around the community, and as always, I'll be back next week with another episode of Divi Nation.